One of the most impressive structure the human ever engineered is the Great Wall of China. I'm sure you've seen it before. Several walls are already being built as early as the 7th century BC. These later joined together and made bigger and stronger and now collectively called as the Great Wall or Great Wall of China. Especially famous wall built between 220 to 206 BC by the emperor during the time of the first emperor of China, Qin Shi Huang. Probably I butchered his name just now, but he's dead and he's not going to yell at me. However, the little that the original walls not many of them remain intact. Since then, the Great Wall has been on and off rebuilt, maintained, and enhanced, and majority of existing walls are started in during the Ming Dynasty. Any of you can guess the total length of the Great Wall of China? 1,000 miles? 2,000 miles? Huh? 1,800 miles? Okay, do I hear 5,000? Do I hear 6,000? Okay, 5,000. Anybody six? 10,000. Wow. Is she generous? No, 17,000. I'm sorry, it's 13,171 miles. Wow. Wall is 13,171 miles. It stretches across the northern border of China. It was to build to keep the enemies, especially their arch enemy Mongolia, at bay. Because Mongolia constantly come down. Mongolia did not have a whole lot of land to do the agriculture thing, and mostly mountain. So they just come down and took away their food and ran up because they are really good at riding a horse. But two times Mongolia invaded China after the wall was completed. They didn't break through the wall, but they were able to invade. Do you know how they did? They simply bribed the gatekeeper. They bribed the gatekeeper. They went through the gate without breaking one stone. I'm sure you heard the phrase, a chain is only strong as the what? Weakest link. In this case, the weakest link of the Great Wall of China was a corrupted gatekeeper. Last week we studied about the King Asa of the Judah, who studied wonderfully with the Lord, yet he finished his life horribly by being defiant to the Lord even to his last breath. When he was in pain, he had a bad feet disease, but he relied on God, not asking God to heal him. We are going to cover from chapter 17 through 20, mainly chapter 18. We'll meet the Asa's son Jehoshaphat, who also started his reign with the right foot with the Lord, but only to find himself away from the Lord at the end. He made a major two boo-boos, and I guess an apple does not fall far from the tree. This king compromised his walk with God and ended up with another fizzle. Let's stop and pray. Father, we have two good examples who started well but did not finish well. We don't want to be one of them. We don't want to be like them, but we want to be like Jesus, who finished well. And we want to be like Apostle Paul, who finished well. All those heroes in our Bible. Father, we ask you to fill our hearts with the Holy Spirit, that we may do what is right in your sight, always walk with you, that by the time we get to the place in the heaven, and we will hear from you that precious word, well done, anchor and faithful servant. That would be our reward, that would be our ultimate greeting from you. We love you, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Alright, chapter 17, verse 6, please. Chapter 17, verse 6. And his heart took delight in the way of the Lord. Moreover, he removed, that is Jehoshaphat, the high places and wooden image from Judah. Go down to verse 9. I love what it says here. So they taught in Judah and had a book of laws of the Lord with them. They went throughout all the cities of Judah and taught the people. Taught what? The Word of God. See, this is the wisest and best policy for a secure conscience king, Jehoshaphat, to do. He promoted this thing because Jehoshaphat sought the Lord, and the Lord brought the fear in the people, the king, surrounding kingdom's heart, the heart of the surrounding kingdom people, that they feared Judah and they had chosen not to invade, not to make a war against them. You see, because Jehoshaphat found the delight in the ways of the Lord, he wanted the people of Judah to learn more about their God through these teaching Levites. They had a bunch of people, these Levites, traveling around the country and teaching the Word of God. I guess you call, instead of a circuit judge, there would be circuit preachers. This is so important because it is not enough for new believers just to remove the carnal, formal lifestyle, but they must fill their heart with the Word of God. Otherwise, they will go right back to where they came from. So it is very important. Turn to the next chapter, chapter 18, verse 1, please. Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance. And by marriage, he allied himself with Ahab. Bad idea, Jehoshaphat. After some years, he went down to visit Ahab in Samaria. So Ahab killed his sheep and oxen in abundance for him and the people who were with him, persuaded him to go up with him to Ramoth Gilead. So Ahab, king of Israel, said to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, will you go with me against Ramoth Gilead? And he answered him, I am as you are, and my people as your people. We will be with you in the war. See, Jehoshaphat did everything right in the sight of God, but he did something utterly wrong thing. From the first place, he should not have allowed his son to be married to Ahab's daughter. But he did. He, good godly king, for whatever dumb, stupid reason, he decided to hang around with this wicked king, the most wicked king of Israel. Obviously, he learned this thing from his father, Asa. According to 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 29-33, Ahab is probably is the really, really wicked king. Now, remember the first king of Israel? Jeroboam. He realized after he had his own kingdom separated from the southern kingdom, Judah, during the time of a feast, like a time of unleavened bread, a time of Passover, people travel from all these different tribes, the northern kingdom, traveling down to Jerusalem to be part of that feast. He decided, well, okay, you don't need to travel that far. Let me make it very convenient, make it convenient for you. I will make two temples, the same size temples, one in the Dan area, one in the other place. You go there, worship God. His idea is, you can worship God in my way. What is his way? Setting up the golden calf. Making something there people can see tangibly. Where does the golden calf come from? Where does the golden calf come from? ultimately from Egypt. And then these people, remember, half-breed, mixed-breed people who left Exodus from the Egypt, came into the wilderness, and they, while the, Moses was in the mountain, they started the golden calf, right? That thing went into their head of their ancestor and came through the descendant here, even in the northern kingdom. For Ahab's idea is, forget the whole thing about Jehovah God. We'll start to worship Baal. You know why? Because he married to probably the wickedest, most horrible woman in the world, Jezebel. She's a Phoenician, and she's the one who came with all this idolatry. She made the kingdom just far worse than ever be. Now, King Ahab was nothing more than puppet of the Queen Jezebel. Why would a godly man ally himself with an enemy of God? Don't think that we wouldn't do it. Don't think it. Because all of us are capable of it. By the grace of God, we don't put ourselves in that kind of situation. If you think that, oh, I will never ally with anyone ungodly, watch out, you will. And I'm sure you guys know that verse, 1 Corinthians 10:12. Anyone who thinks himself lest he fall, right? Therefore, let him who think he is a stand take heed lest he fall. All right, let's go to chapter 18, verse 4. We have a lot to read here, but it is important. And verse 4. Also, Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, please inquire for a word of the Lord today. Then king of Israel gathered the prophet together, 400 men, and said to them, shall we go to war against the Ramoth Gilead, or shall I refrain? So they said, go up, for the God will deliver it into the king's hand. But Jehoshaphat said, is there not a still prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of him? Why did he say that? What's wrong with this prophet, the 400 prophets? They are Baal-worshipping prophets. Remember Elijah took care of them, 400 of them, up in the Mount Carmel? After they died, Queen Jezebel came up with another 400. All right, continuing verse 6. Jehoshaphat said, is there not a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of him? So the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, there is still one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. Tell us how you feel. Because he never prophesied good concerning me, but always evil. He is a Micaiah, son of Imlah. Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say such a thing. Then the king of Israel called one of his officers and said, bring Micaiah, the son of Imlah, quickly. The king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, clothed in their robes, sat each on his throne. And they sat at the threshing floor of the entrance of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets prophesied before them. Now, Jedekiah, the son of Kenana, had made a horn of iron for himself, and he said, thus said the Lord, with this you shall gore the Samaritan until they are destroyed. And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, go up, Ramoth Gilead, and prosper, for the Lord will deliver it into the king's hand. Then messenger who had gone to called Micaiah spoke to him, saying, now listen, words of the prophets with one accord, encouraging king, therefore please let your word be like the word of one of them, and speak encouragement. Micaiah said, as the Lord lives, that whatever the Lord my God says, that I will speak. Then he came to the king, and the king said, Micaiah, shall we go to war against Ramoth Gilead, or shall I refrain? Then he said, go and prosper, and they shall be delivered into your hand. I get the feeling he's rather sarcastic here. So the king said to him, how many times shall I make you swear that you tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? Then he said, I saw all the Israel scattered on the mountains as the sheep had no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let each return to his house in peace. Then the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell you he would not prophesy good concerning me, but evil? Then Micaiah said, therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and the host of heaven standing on his right hand and his left. And the Lord said, who will persuade Ahab, the king of Israel, to go up, that he may fall at the Ramoth Gilead? So one spoke in this manner, and another spoke in that manner. Then a spirit came forward and stood there before the Lord, and said, I will persuade him. The Lord said to him, in what way? So he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And the Lord said, you shall persuade him and also prevail. Go out and do so. Therefore, look, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of these prophets of yours. I'm sure he's making a friend with them by now. And the Lord has declared a disaster against you. But Zedekiah, the son of Kenana, went near and struck Micaiah on the cheek and said, which way did the spirit from the Lord go from me to speak to you? And Micaiah said, indeed you shall see on that day when you go into the inner chamber to hide. Then king of Israel said, take Micaiah and return him to Ammon and the governor of the city to the Joash the king's son, and say, thus says the king, put this fellow in prison and feed him with the bread of affliction and water of affliction till I return in peace. Then Micaiah said, if you ever return in peace, the Lord has not spoken by me. And he said, take heed, all you people. Stop there, please. Okay. In verse 14, Jehoshaphat wanted to hear from the prophet of God. So what was the point for him to ask for the counsel of God, and he eventually ignored it? After he heard it, he went on to the war with the king Ahab. What was the purpose of that? He was not really seeking the counsel of God, but he only wanted God to bless what he was going to do, that God is not in it. Am I making sense? He didn't seek the Lord in a prayer before God, when the Ahab asked him, will you go to Ramoth Gilead to fight against them? He said yes, and then he's expecting that God to bless him. I believe that we sometimes do this type of dumb things. We do something first and expect God to bless it. We want something that God is not in it. And we want God to bless it no matter what. Will God bless it? Of course not. He will not. He's not going to bless it because he's not obligated to us. He doesn't want us to be happy in everything. And this might be a revelation to some of you. I don't think so, not in this group. God is more concerned about our character than being happy. He wants us to be godly. He wants us to be obedient to him, contrary to what so-called pastor Victoria Osteen says, the wife of Joel Osteen. She said this in August. I'm going to read it to you. When we obey God, we are not doing it for God. We are doing it for ourselves. Because God takes pleasure when we are happy. Do good, cause God wants you to be happy. Happy, 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 right? You are when you come to church, when you worship Him, you are not doing it for God, really. You are doing it for yourself because that makes God happy. That's a deep theology, isn't it? Right on the dot, right? Can you find me any verse, any Bible verse that goes with what she said? Come on, find it for me. I tried to look today. I could not find one verse that supports what she said. Ladies, I'm not against you. I have a great respect for the ladies. But according to the Bible, woman should not be a pastor. And she is supposed to be co-pastor. First, a biblical movement. And she teach men in standing in front of the entire congregation said this because it's stupid things. Ahab's 400 people, 400 prophets were prophets of a golden calf that was made by the Jeroboam to keep the people in Israel, as I mentioned. And this prophet, in other words, these prophets were not from the Lord and they served the demons and they would not speak the truth. Of course, Ahab hated Micaiah because he's godly message and he's a godly man. Ahab's real conflict is not with Micaiah. He has a conflict with God, as I mentioned in the last week. That's a typical, isn't it? When the people get convicted by the word of God, they get mad at the messenger. Okay, it's not the first time, it's not going to be the last time, right? Can you see the Micaiah's sarcasm in the verse 14? Ahab said he wanted the truth, but he couldn't handle the truth. I respect this man. He knew that as soon as he tell the king Ahab what the Lord tell him, he's going to go back to prison, or he might be dead on the spot. But he still spoke the truth. Let's continue verse 28 of chapter 18, please. You mean Ahab? Ahab did not want to hear Micaiah, but he did it only to appease Jehoshaphat. Just to prove that, see, this is the bad guy. Verse 28. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth Gilead. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and go into battle. And you put on your robe. The king of Israel disguised himself and they went into battle. Verse 30. Now the king of Syria had commanded the captains of the chariot who were with him, saying, fight with no one small or great, but only the king of Israel. So it was when the captains of the chariot saw the Jehoshaphat that they said, it is the king of Israel. Therefore they surrounded him to attack him. But Jehoshaphat cried out, probably he cried like a little girl, and the Lord helped him, and God diverted them from him. So it was when the captains of the chariot saw that it was not the king of Israel, they turned back from the pursuing him. Now the certain man drew a bow at random and struck the king of Israel between the joint of his armor. So he said to the driver of his chariot, turn around and take me out of the battle, for I am wounded. The battle increased that day, and the king of Israel propped himself up in his chariot facing the Syrians until evening, and about the time of the sunset he died. So what was the purpose of Jehoshaphat's request to hear from godly prophet when he completely ignored what he was told? And we've done that, as mentioned before, and you agreed. Do we deserve the punishment from the Lord for what we done knowingly when it was wrong? Yes, we do. Yes, we do. But God's mercy endures forever. By the mercy of God, Jehoshaphat's life was spared, and God judged Ahab. You know, when Ahab asked Jehoshaphat to keep his king's robe on while he is disguising himself as another soldier, you know, that should be a pretty good reason for Jehoshaphat to think that maybe it's not a good thing for him to be in the battle. Not just pretty good, it should be a distinct reason why he should not be in the battlefield. But I guess Jehoshaphat is not the sharpest tool in the drawer. So he just went on. The Lord used the random man's error to fulfill his prophecy and judge the wicked king. To unbelievers, it just happened. It's a coincidence, right? A lot of people like to use the coincidence. For believers, no, the Lord did it. So I'm asking you, ladies and gentlemen, as of tonight, I want you to remove from your vocabulary coincidence. Another word I'm going to ask you not to use is a good luck. I heard it from the many Christians. I know what they're trying to say. But as a believers of Christ, do we believe luck? So if we believed luck, this arrow shot by this soldier, Syrian soldier, randomly, it happened. Lucky shot, right? No, it was pretty much a guided missile by God. It was a designated marksman shot. So do not use words good luck or coincidence as a believer of Christ. Listen, the majority of dedicated Christians will fight to their death to honor their God's name and to keep their faith in their hearts if someone tried to take their lives away from them. I mean, their faith away from them. There would be an attack from outside. They can handle it. They will fight to their teeth. But the same majority of believers are not prepared for the internal attack as much as they are for the outside attack. What do I mean? Corruption from within. Corruption from within. Compromise to allow the outside temptation to reside inside of the temple of the Holy Spirit. Am I making sense? Allowing that outside temptation to reside inside of the temple of the Holy Spirit. Remember what I said at the beginning of this teaching, the Great Wall of China? The wall could hold itself against outside attack, but it was useless when the corrupted gatekeeper decided to open the gate to the enemy. Great danger lies in the notion that we can reason with the devil. We cannot and we should not. Am I making sense? Verse 1 of chapter 19, please. Then Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned safely to his house in Jerusalem. And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to the king Jehoshaphat, should you help the wicked and love those who hated the Lord? Therefore, the wrath of the Lord is upon you. Nonetheless and nevertheless, the good things are found in you, in that you have removed the wooden images from the land and have prepared your heart to seek God. Talk about enduring mercy of God. Here, one of the greatest things of being a Christian is that God gives us a second chance. Can you hear amen? He knows that we are not flawless, we are not perfect, and He knows our true nature and give us the opportunity to put our sins behind. Even when we have failed miserably like this King Jehoshaphat, God possessed the power to turn the things around dramatically. Well, when it comes to second chance, we have a choice in that matter. As we approach the subject of sin, we have two ways to address it. We can confess it and turn from it and experience the joy of forgiveness from the Lord, or we can conceal our sins, know the misery of the reaping, the repercussion of our sins. Would you turn your Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 30, please? I'm sorry, chapter 30, verse 19. Moses speaking, I call heaven and earth as witness today against you. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, and you may have the Lord your God, that you may obey His voice, that you may cling to Him, for He is your life and the length of your days. You know, it's amazing that some people conscientiously choose death by disobeying God, by concealing their sins. And the even more amazing that the people today still choose death. And it would happen during that time, and it's still happening. You see, choosing death is essentially what we do when we choose to go against God and His Word. When we defiantly go against God. Somehow they think that it's more fun to live the carnal life for now. If you notice that I didn't deny that there is more fun. There is a fun in sin for a season, as the proverb says. Two applications. Number one, a great start with the Lord does not guarantee a great finish. A great start with the Lord does not guarantee a great finish. Second application. Active wickedness is always stronger than half-hearted godliness. Active wickedness is always stronger than half-hearted godliness. What am I saying? If we allow the temptation to reside in the temple of the Holy Spirit, guess what? The temple will be defiled and it will be corrupted and God will not stay there. Amen?